Hello, everyone. And like Pastor Ben, it's Tuesday, so we make it so far as we read and go through our text and our Bible in the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to look at another piece of the armor of God, but as well, we're going to compare it to the armor of the Roman soldier. Tonight's title is Our Identity. And the key text for this week is Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day. And having done everything, you can stand firm. You won't move to the right or to the left, but you will stay on path. And just to remind you again, this is something that you must do. It's an order. Take up. You can't leave it for someone else to do it for you. You cannot leave this task for God to do it for you. This is a personal matter. You need to take up your own armor and put it on. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." And this is from the New International Version. Buckle around your waist. And this is what the belt of a Roman soldier looked back in the day. Of course, these are new. They've been restored. It's made out of leather, usually about 2.5 inches wide. And the length, of course, it varies depending on the size of the waist of the soldier. And as you can see, they're different. And honestly, according to the archaeologists, the belts were very different from one another. I'm not going to say that they're two of the same, but why? Because this was left to the soldier to do its own belt, to buy its own belt, to adorn its own belt. There was no uniformity on the belts. The only thing is that every soldier wore one of those. And they will hang some leather straps vertically from, well, this one has four, but most of the articles that I read, it says it has 5 straps to 8 straps in the belt. And all dependent what rank they were in, how long they've been in the service. Usually low-ranking soldiers, their belt was very, very simple. But if they had a higher rank, they've been longer there, they will be more adorned. As you can see, this one was extremely adorned, which was more costly as well. And also depending how much wealth the soldier had. And as you can see, probably this one was for a poor soldier. Well, not so poor. It has a lot of brass. But this one probably was for a high-ranking officer. But they all had one. They all wear one. You can see it here with the uniform. Well, not with the uniform. I'm sorry, with the armor. And it had a purpose with them. But one of the things that the bell did was to identify the soldier. They actually had to wear the belt at all times, even if they didn't have the armor. As you can see on this picture, there's no armor. He just had the tunic on, and they had to wear it. It was their identity. It was their badge. Just like police officers, they have a badge on their chest, or when they come near you and they want to ask you something, especially like a driver's license or identification, one of the things that they will show you is a badge, unless they're in full uniform and they're wearing it. Same thing with the soldiers. That was their badge. That was their identity. That's what told to everyone that he was a Roman soldier. And as I told you, their training was very harsh, but also they had some rewards, but they also had some punishments. And all depending on the offense of the soldier, it was the punishment was severe or not. Sometimes it came to food rations. If they did something low, they'll, you know, limit their food intake, or maybe light work, light labor. Others were the death penalty. But sometimes they will put the soldier somewhere working without the belt and without the armor. So the only thing they'll be wearing is their tunic, which is very long. It's probably like a dress, a size dress. And without the belt, they will look like a woman. And this will bring shame to them. And this will make them feel very, very bad, to the point of not doing again what they did. So the belt for them was extremely important. It didn't do much as far as protection, but it was very important to them. So they wear it at all times. So like I said, the belt gives them identity. Also, the belt encircles the armor and hold it together. And hold it in place, not together. Hold it in place so it won't move. And this will bring them more safety and security. It prevented from chafing. It prevented the armor from moving around, or the tunic from moving around, and also creating a rash or irritation. And so that way the soldier will be more comfortable. Also, it holds the dagger. You can see it right here, actually. That's the dagger. It's attached to the bell. And also, the sword is attached to the bell. And the bell is attached to the whole armor, holding it, putting it into place. Also, the belt worked as an anchor for the tunic. It's like a tunic's long shirt. And so this anchor or this bell created some weight, to the point if there was any strong wind, the tunic will not kind of lift off or anything. And when they sit down, the bell will create weight to kind of center the tunic as they sit down, as they sit. But also, it was a psychological booster. As they went on to war and to battle, as they were marching, the metals attached to the belt and to the straps will create some type of sound. You know, back in the day, they used the drums. And today, we still use drums. So they used the psychological booster, but also to induce fear into the enemy. As they march, imagine, a legion is about 6,000 soldiers. It's made out of 10 cohorts. Each cohort is 480 men. And you have 5 cohorts in the front, another 5 on the back, all marching at the same time, making sound with those bells. So it created a booster for them to feel in control, to feel empowered, to feel in unity, to get ready for battle. But also induce fear into the enemy as the noise, as they were making the noise as they come near to the battlefield. So the bell was important. It didn't do much as far as protection to this part of the body, but it created other things for the soldier. So the Bible says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girdled your loins with the truth," or having the buckle or the belt of truth around your waist. And probably one of the good stories that I found in the Bible is found in John chapter 18. If you go there with me, John chapter 18. And we're going to begin to read from verse 28. John chapter 18, verse 28. Amen? All right. It reads, "Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves, the Pharisees, the Jews did not enter into the praetorium so that they will not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. this is when they're trying to judge Jesus. They're trying to crucify him. And it's kind of funny. They bring in a man to put to death, and they just don't want to defile by entering into the praetorium. It doesn't make sense. 29. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we will not have delivered him to you." So Pilate said to them, verse 31, "Take him yourself and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." To fulfill the word of Jesus which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. And Pilate knew that the Pharisees were lying. They knew that he knew that they were bringing false accusations. And we find that in Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, verse 33, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Is this something that it was revealed to you? Is this something that you're thinking of me? Or this is something that someone else told you about me? That's what Jesus is implying. And then Pilate answered, "Am I not a Jew? Am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants will fight for me so that I will not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So, are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" So Paul is telling us that we need to buckle around our waist the belt of truth. And Pilate is known around the world for the crucifixion of Jesus, and also he's known for this question: what is truth? And until today, we ask that question: what is truth? And the time and age that we live in, what is truth? And according to who? We have what is called relativism, which means that everything is relative. And the truth can vary from your culture, your belief system, your nation that you come from, your sexual orientation, your own thoughts. It's relative to whatever. Actually, nowadays, we are talking about there is no such thing as absolute truth. Everything is relative. So what is truth? I mean, and this is nothing new. If we look back to the philosophers and Plato, I think Plato played a big part on this, because he developed the theory of the cave. He said that everything that we see is just a shadow of what is truth. He says that there is something out there that is true, but everything that you and I see is just a shadow. Like the piano. Somewhere in the universe, there is a true piano, but But here, the only thing that we see is just variations of pianos. It's just shadows. It's not true. It's relative. Have you heard the expression, everything tastes like chicken? It's relative. And nowadays, especially in young people, they say there is not absolute truth. You can actually have two truths and be okay. And that's in the world that we live. And Pilate asked this question, the simple question, what is truth? And I assume that you have asked this question yourself too. What is truth? Yeah. The first thing is, according to the Bible, God. Psalm 31, verse 5 says, Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. What is truth? God is truth. Also, the Holy Spirit is truth. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is what? The truth. So if God is a God of truth, what He has done is true. What He has said is true. The promises that you find in the Bible is true. And now we have the Holy Spirit, who is also true. And what He testifies of is what? True. And because He is true, He will lead you to all true. What else is true? Jesus. John 8:32, you probably know it by memory. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And if He is true, also the things that He has said is true. He said to the disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus is also true. What else is truth? And our sister mentioned it, the word of God's word. John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Paul wrote unto Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in all righteousness, so that the men of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, and so all His promises as well are true. So what He says in His book, in the Bible, it's profitable. It's true. It helps you. Not just the promises, but also the reproofs, the teachings, the corrections that are in it, to help you have a better life, to help you in all that it can. What else is true? How about God's law? Psalm 119:144. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is what? True. Also, sometimes when we talk about law, we just limit it to the Ten Commandments, which is true. But also there are other commandments in His Word, and those are also as well true. 119:151 from the book of Psalms. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are what? True. That's why today we try to stay away from unclean meats. The health laws, they're not in the Ten Commandments. But it's part of God's commandments. It's part of God's word. and helps us to have a better and a healthier life. What else is true? How about the gospel? Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the what? The gospel. So the things that we have heard of the good news of Jesus are true. It's true that He was born from a virgin. It's true that He came and lived a life that we should have lived. He is true that He came and died for us. It's true that He came back from the death. It's true as well that He will return. The gospel is truth. What else does the truth is? The truth is also a liberator. The truth sets us free. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Will make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from error. Free from deceit. Free from guilt. Free from death. Free from what? So see, what is truth? And what are you supposed to do with the truth? According to Ephesians 6:14. Wrap it around your waist. And if we use the analogy of the Roman soldier, what was probably the main purpose of the belt? It was to identify the soldier. It also secures the armor. So truth secures all other parts of the armor. So the truth secures righteousness. The truth secures salvation. The truth secures the sword, which is the Word of God. And I wish we could put everything else in the belt, but we can't. We can't put the shield. We can only go as far as with the analogy. But the truth secures all the other parts of the armor of God. So if the truth, the belt, is your identity, who are you? Who are you? You need to ask that question seriously. And not just to give an answer, but to ponder in the real meaning of who you are. Where you come from, who you are, what is your purpose in this life, where are you going? Just like the Roman soldiers, they knew who they were, they knew where they came from, they knew where they were going, because that belt represents them. And you are wearing a belt that says truth that is representing you. So who are you? Let me read to you this, what I found. This was accredited to Nelson Mandela, but actually he was probably quoting someone else. This is quoted by Mrs. Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that is most frightening us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just for in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people the permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So who are you? What's your identity? If you're wearing the belt of truth, you are a child of God. And you were meant to shine. And you were meant to lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I am lift up, I will attract others unto me. And we are supposed to do that in our own lives. I hope and pray that you will live accordingly to the veil of truth that is around your waist. May the Lord bless you this evening. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for the many things you have done in our lives and for us. By you coming from heaven, becoming sin, living in this world full of sin, knowing the future that it was prepared for you, knowing that you were going to be stricken, that we're going to spit on your face, that you were going to be crucified and die a painful death, you still came to this earth to save a fallen race. And because of that sacrifice, dear Jesus, today we are called children of God. We have been reconciled with our Father. And Lord, you have left the example for us to follow. You have left your truth behind that still abides today and will endure forever. Lord, Paul is charging each and every child of you to wear, to put around our waist the veil of truth. Help us to live accordingly to what we believe. Help us to shine for Jesus so that others can see the light that is in us. Even though we are darkness, we still shine as the midday does. And Lord, may you bless us this afternoon as we depart from this place, as we go to our places of rest. May we continue to meditate on the things that we have learned today about what is true. Actually, who is true? And may that come to us. May we live according to your will. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your kindness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.